This is URN.
The Film Show Breakdown.
There's a film coming out on the 13th of July called The Secret of Marrowbone, and it's directed, like I say, it's a bit of a follow-up. It's a bit like a similar film to The Witch, but it's not set in that time period. It just feels similar in terms of tone, and it's basically about family, and I don't really want to give too much away. We talk about it in the interview. I interviewed the director, Sergio G. Sanchez, who actually wrote the film of The Impossible, with Naomi Watts and Ewan McGregor and Tom Holland's first or second film, I think. So a bit of a shift in tone, but he also wrote The Orphanage, which came out in 2006. He's Spanish director. He's made or written some short films. Anyway, this is his first film that he wrote and directed, and yeah, it's out on the 13th of July. So I got the chance to interview him earlier on in the week. So here is this interview now.
This is URN.
This is Mark Kermode. This is the Film Show on URN.
Hi, this is Sergio. How are you?
Hi, my name's Francis. Thank you so much for taking the time to speak to us today.
My pleasure.
And congratulations on your debut as well. So when did the story first come into being? How long ago has this project been up until now?
Well, it depends on where you want to start. Probably I would tell you 3 years, but I could also tell you something like 15 years, which is when I wrote the first draft of The Orphanage, and which is a film I wanted to direct myself. I made a short film called 7337, which was like a short version of The Orphanage, but in another setting. It was a ghost story set in the Spanish Civil War. And so I started showing that short film around, and I met Juan Antonio Bayona at a film festival. I let him read the script, and he ended up directing it. So after the film was so successful in Spain, I got labeled as a writer, and I had to wait a long time to direct until now. So in a way, it's almost like going back to my roots and doing the type of story that I had planned to direct when I was younger. So it depends. It can be 3 years or 15.
It must be so surreal now, given that that was back in 2000, to finally have this film made now. Do you feel like it was Marrowbone that made you actually want to say, no, I'm directing this one? How did the process of you directing it come into being?
Well, I tried it with many different scripts, and I think it's because I wrote The Orphanage and The Impossible, and then a film that has not been seen here called Palm Trees in the Snow, which was also a big success in Spain. After writing three big hits, I was able to say, okay, that my next script, it's for me. Nobody else is going to get it. And so it took a bit of a leap of faith on the part of the producers, but it paid off, thankfully.
Yeah, no, absolutely. No, it looks incredible as well. Was it sort of ghost stories that's always attracted you to telling stories? Because obviously you made The Impossible, which feels quite disparate. But it feels like you've gone back to ghost stories now. What is it about ghost stories that kind of attracts you in the first place?
Well, I think film is the perfect vehicle for a ghost story, because it's almost as if film is a ghost itself. You know, it's something intangible. It's just light and sound coming from some unknown place and returning to that unknown place as soon as it's over. It's almost like watching a movie. It's almost like witnessing an apparition. So I think it's the perfect vehicle for this type of story. And also I think it lets you play with all the tools that you have as a filmmaker. So I love that. And also within the ghost story, I'm really attracted to those ghost stories that are not literal, that invite different interpretations and that require the audience to be actively participating in the story. There's so much left to the imagination. There's this movie's almost like a puzzle that you need to piece together, and it's only when all those pieces come together that you realize that the real horror is always underneath the skin of the story we tell. And it's almost like the scariest moment of the film is once the movie's done, and even it ends on a on a kind of a sunny, comforting note, when you go home and think about what you just saw, that's when the disturbing part begins. And it's I think it's a film that plants roots on your mind and keeps coming back to haunt you. That's the type of ghost story that I love.
Yeah, so one that stays with you after. They're always the most scary. Like, I remember watching The Shining, and it's only after, yeah, when you're thinking about it, that you really are quite terrified. What you said about piecing a puzzle together is really interesting, and I think as a writer yourself, you must understand or like know really well that like the way that you reveal a secret and a twist within the narrative, and you ask the audience to begin questioning what's happening. And do you think that's like almost an integral part of storytelling?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, structure is 80% of the storytelling, and it's almost with this film. It was scary because visually, I think it's a very classical film. It has a look from another time. It's something that could have been shot in the 60s. There are a couple of shots in the film that may remind you of Ryan's Daughter or things like that. But structurally, it's very strange and very complex. And I mean, the movie starts with the family arriving at the house, and things move very quickly. They do this ritual where their mother asks them to cross an invisible line so that they can leave their past behind. They make a new friend. Everything's idyllic. Suddenly, their mother dies unexpectedly, and they make this pact to always stay together. And then they receive a very disturbing visit from someone, and at the climax the story stops and jumps forward 6 months, so it leaves this enormous gap. There's a big mystery that no one addresses or talks about, so it's just like this type of construction that is very jarring in a way, but also it makes you think all the time, and it makes you question what you're watching. Structurally, it's very complex and very risky. So it almost felt as if I was doing some kind of a narrative experiment, and I wasn't quite sure of what was going to happen. So it's really exciting and rewarding when you sit in a theater with an audience and you see them sort of like get tenser and scream and get emotional. It's one of those films that it's really good to watch in a dark theater with many people.
Yeah, definitely. Like all films should be watched in a dark theater, but no, I completely agree. So it was an experiment that paid off then in that case.
Yeah. And at the same time, you're very nervous because, of course, when you're testing new ground, you never know what the outcome's going to be like.
So, yeah, no, definitely.
But it was exciting.
Did you feel like when you were writing it, you could picture it in your head, you were almost directing it in your head as you were writing your script? Is that how you go about writing? Or did you find the experience directing was actually very different to your original thought piece?
No, it was what I found difficult about directing, and it was I had such a fantastic crew. They're all top professionals in their field, so it was answering so many questions every day,
yeah,
and making sure that everyone had the same film in their heads was tough. Not so much in the writing. I always think that everything is on the script. When you write a script, you're writing the images. It's a story told in images and sounds, and that's what you write on the script. It's a map for everyone, for the actors, for the cinematographer, for production designer, for the sound designer. So I always put that on the page. And sometimes there are directors who tell me, it's like, yo, dude, don't do my job. Don't talk about the shots. This is what we do. But really, I can't do it any other way. I always say, well, just change it if you don't like it. But
yeah,
like I cannot write in a way that doesn't describe the visuals. For example, whenever I read a play, I go to the theater and I buy a play and read it and see that it's just limited to the dialogue, and everything is just in the dialogue and some minor descriptions. I would never be able to do something like that. I need to describe every single thing that's on the screen.
Yeah, definitely. I know you're a very busy man, so I'll wrap it up now. And thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us. It seemed like you were working with a really familiar team. Was that important? And are you going to continue directing and stick with this team of filmmakers now?
Well, it was there's a core of of people I've worked with many times, which are Belena Tienza, my producer, and Sandra Armida, line producer, Elena Ruiz, who's the editor, and Fernando, the musician. I had worked with them again before, and they were all part of Bayona's team also. But with the rest, I tried to have different members of the crew. I didn't want to have exactly the same crew Bayona has in his films, because then it would feel just really strange to be the only new kid in the classroom.
Sure. Yeah, no, definitely.
And I felt his absence would be deeply felt, so I cheated a little bit so that we wouldn't have exactly the same crew.
Sergio, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us. It's been an absolute pleasure, and best of luck with your debut. I think it's going to be fantastic. I'm really looking forward to seeing it myself. So,
thank you. My pleasure, Francis.
Thank you.
And that was my interview with Sergio G. Sanchez, and that's for The Secret of Marrowbone, which is out on the 13th of July. Absolutely lovely guy.